Thanks for joining us. This is Noteware. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. We're taping this interview live at Sapura Mines in Sri Kembangan. Very recently, Telenor, a big company, of course, and quite familiar in Malaysia through their subsidiary DG, has published 5 tech trends that will fuel the green transition of society in 2022. Throughout the past few years, we've seen how climate change has affected us tremendously. Many companies are indeed taking the clear course of action of trying to address climate change through innovation, spending a lot of money in this space, not only because it is necessary to do so, but because it is important for us to actually understand and appreciate the fact that this is key for us to move ahead. So in order for us to actually unpack all of this, we have on the line all the way from Oslo, Bjørn Tolle Sandberg. He's the head of Telenor Research. Bjørn joined Telenor over 20 years ago and is the Senior Vice President and Head of Telenor Research, the Internal Scientific Research Unit at the Telenor Group. How are you, Bjørn?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. We're doing this interview through 3 different locations, from Bukit Jalil, where the headquarters is, and I am in Sri Kembangan, which is about 10-20 kilometers away, and of course you are far, far away from us, all the way from Oslo. Let's talk a little bit more about the research that Telenor has published, just the overview before we deep dive into the details, Bjørn.
Sure. This is the 7th time that we published technology trends for the coming year. And what we're trying to do is to look at the world around us, look at developments in technology, and then pick some trends, because we can't look at everything, pick some trends that we think will be important. And this year, we really focused on trends that are impacted by or impact the green shift, and of course, the pandemic. So we looked at the move towards smaller, hopefully greener data centers when we roll out 5G in telecommunications. We looked at the effect of the isolation that's been in the pandemic on work life, and in particular the young generation.
With this whole idea of general themes that you have picked up, I want to zoom in into some of the areas that businesses around the world might be thinking about, including that of Asia. Do you feel that there would be some different interests across different companies and different organizations and different governments across the globe? And what would be some of the interest within Asia, specifically Malaysia, that you can speak of following this research done at Telenor Research?
Obviously, companies are positioned differently and have different interests. I agree. Some companies will be very much part of the green shift. They may be developing technologies that can help us. They may be part of, for instance, the electronics industry, where the focus is very much on energy efficiency now. While other companies may be in a position where they can use technology in order to optimize their own processes, their own production process, their value chains. So companies will be in different places here. And of course, some companies are at the moment very much rooted in the old energy system or in old technology that is not necessarily climate friendly. And they know that they will need to change. They know that the market for their old products, such as coal, for instance, is going to go away in a number of years. So obviously, different companies will have different interests and be positioned differently in this shift that we're part of. But we all have to take in that climate change is real. We have to take in that we need to change. We have to take in that our production processes will be different in a few years to meet this development.
One key item is to translate these ideas into actionable items, particularly for businesses in Malaysia specifically. What would be some of the key ideas that you can think of when it comes to taking organizations to move and to spend not just time and energy but money into turning these ideas to action?
That's a very good question. I have two comments really on that. One is, all companies, or most companies in the modern world, are really powered by software. They're powered by computers. You have a digital distribution. You may have a digital production chain. We all communicate. So we're powered by software and by computers. And the way you build those systems is going to change. Let me be specific. When you build software, you can do that efficiently. You can build software that is efficient, that requires fewer lines of code to do the same work. And you can be sloppy, if you want, about that, and build software that is inefficient. Efficient software is less energy intensive. It emits less carbon. It is better for all of us. And at the same time, it's also usually more responsive. It runs faster. It meets the efficiency criteria that we would anyway want to meet. So all companies that are in any way software companies or rely on software need to think about what solutions they buy or build. So that's one thing. And the second big thing is obviously that we used to say that in this shift, while we're waiting for our energy system to be rebuilt, where we're waiting for the transition from fossil fuels to renewables, we will need to think about optimizing everything, optimizing every process in the industry, optimizing the way we organize work in order to save energy, in order to reduce waste, in order to protect the environment. And that's something that all companies can do and all companies can focus on. So I think when we are digitally transitioning, when we are rebuilding our value chains, we should also think about, okay, what's the carbon footprint of our new ways of doing things? How can we optimize our processes and hopefully both save money, save time, and save the planet?
Okay, Bjorn, we're going for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more with Telenor Research. Thanks for staying on with us. We have Bjørn Paule Sandberg joining us all the way from Oslo, Norway. He's the head of Telenor Research over there. Bjørn, let's continue on our conversation. Because of 2022, because of the past few years, we've seen use of data is on the rise. The ability for us to translate these data into analytics is one thing altogether, but green cloud actually is an important trend for us to examine and explore. What could we do to accelerate the kind of an action to a point where green cloud can be the way of the future, to a point where it's not just sustainable but cheap for organizations to adopt?
Good point, good question. Green clouds, as we define them, are local data centers that are placed close to where the data is produced and consumed, so that the data doesn't have to be transported long distances. You know, when you move data from, for instance, California or India to Malaysia, you need to use energy in the networks you transit, in the switches you go through, and so forth. So you use more energy. So the opportunity is really to think local data centers, that means that you can source data locally. And in many places in the world, you can build these data centers and, for instance, reuse the waste heat from the data centers. You can cool them using water instead of air, which can be more efficient. So there are ways of building and placing these data centers that inherently will reduce carbon, will reuse the energy that is sort of otherwise wasted from those data centers. So that's an important angle on this. And for us as a telecoms company, our view is that, and our aim is that when we build 5G, when we roll out the new networks, we know that we will be building edge data centers that are at the edge of the network. They will be smaller. They will be hosting part of the data and the functionality of the network, and they'll be able to deliver services with much lower delays than otherwise possible, and hopefully with less energy use because of the that we're not transporting all over the world the data that we are delivering. So those are some of the thoughts that are behind the green clouds trend. In order to accelerate this, I think the key thing here is to think about the placement of this when you design your 5G network, is to think about, okay, where can we combine both the opportunity to place a data center in a sensible spot with the demand for data that will be in that place and the production of services that can happen in that place. I mean, one angle on this is that, let's say you have an innovation hub, and you know we have many innovation hubs in Malaysia. You place a data center in the middle of the innovation hub. You allow, for instance, small startups to host their data, host their applications in that data center. And you also can use that data center, for instance, for running the local telecoms towers and base stations. So you can combine needs and processing in the same place. So this is an opportunity both to think environment, and it's an opportunity to think business.
I want to ask you a little bit more about the role of telcos or MNOs, where you can impact and influence other industries to change their business model, to change other industries to be a little bit more efficient. Do you feel that telcos are uniquely positioned to help other industries reduce carbon emission and perhaps try to change for the better as well?
Well, I think the main reason for being for telcos is really to connect our customers to each other and to their data and the processing they need. And we know that in order to optimize value chains, in order to improve on logistics, then you need reliable and you need fast communications, and it needs to be easy to build the solutions that use this communication in order to optimize your value chain. So I think at the outset, the telcos have a role to play to just provide this connectivity, make sure it's easy to use through programming interfaces, through documentation, through all the things that need to be there for others to build solutions on top of our networks. So that's one part of our responsibility as telcos. The other thing is that I think you'll see going forward that more and more telcos will take on the role as a partner to industry that want to digitize. They want to use the capabilities and the possibilities that are there with the 5G revolution and help these companies digitize, help these companies build their solutions. I mean, let me take one example it's from Norway, but anyway, well, you have a similar example in Malaysia. When you are trying to make a port where ships come in and offload and you unload goods produced, if you want to make that port smarter, for instance, if you want to reduce the time it takes to unload and offload a ship, you may want to automate, in a sense, remote control cranes. You may want to use AI to optimize the scheduling of ships and offloading. And this can require low latency, low delay communications. This can require that data is actually produced and stored locally in the port in order to achieve these short delays communications. And the telecom operator is very well placed to work with, for instance, the port authority or the shipping company in order to build these solutions. So I think telcos have both an opportunity and sort of responsibility going forward to help digitize the country in that respect.
Okay, one more short break. When we come back, we'll conclude a conversation with Telenor Research. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me on the line all the way from Oslo, Bjørn Tolle Sandberg. He is the head of Telenor Research. Let's turn our attention to Telenor per se. Could you share with us some of the new technologies that Telenor is using to become a little bit more energy efficient? And I think this is particularly important for us to understand. You do have a subsidiary called Digitelco here in Malaysia. There's a lot of Malaysians who want to know not just what you guys are doing at Digi, but generally speaking, Telenor Group globally.
Good question. We have, just to start out, we have committed to reducing our carbon emissions globally in all our operations and across the company. And we have adopted the science-based targets approach to this. So we have to report on our progress towards this committed cuts. And what we're doing then in practice in order to deliver on this, in order to reach this, is that we are working with our suppliers. A lot of the carbon that we emit comes from our value chain, where we buy products and services. So one part of this is working with our vendors. And then the second part of it is actually reducing the electricity, the energy that we use in our networks, delivering services. And here we are, we have a program going where we're looking at optimizing the use of radios, optimizing the use of, for instance, solar panels for backup power in our sites. Let me give you one example that actually we're quite proud of in Telenor Research, because we were part of doing this. We've been able to use artificial intelligence to predict when the demand for data on a base station, on a tower, is going to be high, when it's going to be low during the day, and then use that prediction to switch off some of the radios on that tower, on that base station, before, or in order to save electricity without it impacting the user experience. So we call that smart radio. And this is now something that's being built into and delivered by the big telecom vendors as well. They're very much working on this. For instance, Ericsson is claiming that with the 5G new radio, as it's called, you can get as much as 9 times the energy saving from 4G radio by using smart tricks like this, by using smart software, by shutting off parts of the radio that are needed at any point in time. So we have a program to reduce our own emissions from operations. And of course, very importantly, work with our vendors, suppliers, in order to impact them and make them adopt the science-based targets as well.
I want to ask you a little bit more about micro degrees climate upskill. It's a general idea where corporations such as yourself plan to upskill your employees to climate awareness, to actionable items following sustainability agenda. Do you feel that this is a key factor in trying to improve the human capital in your organization?
Yes. Definitely, yes. Telenor has had a program running for several years now where we insist, more or less, that employees spend at least 40 hours a year upskilling. That is mostly done through micro degrees of many sorts. And people and employees are given time to do this during working hours. So we believe that in the both green transition and the digital transition that the whole world is going through now, we can't replace employees or skills. We have to reskill and upskill. We have to work with the employees we have and make sure that they acquire the new skills that are needed in order to meet the future. And we believe that a big part of this going forward is going to be understanding how to use technology to be greener, how to use technology to optimize value chains and be more efficient, to reduce carbon. And micro degrees is one very efficient way of doing that upskilling. And the cool thing is that we're seeing that more and more both new platforms such as Coursera or Khan Academy, or old universities such as MIT, are offering micro degrees in many areas to meet this growing demand.
And of course, younger employees or employees that are not that young, some of them are really attuned to the climate sensitivity agenda. Do you feel that these kind of employees should be harnessed in terms of their awareness, in terms of their capability, and perhaps equip them with better training to allow for the sustainability agenda to cut across the organization globally, at least in Telenor?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. We know that the engagement around climate for natural reasons, it's a big looming disaster for all of us. The awareness and engagement is very strong with the young generation, with the people who are now in their 20s. And these are the future, not just of the planet, but also, of course, of companies out there, Telenor included. So to both meet their inherent need and demand and wish for education and engagement, and in order to harness their commitment and their energy in our own transformation, we should do that. We should cater to this. We're trying to do that in Telenor. We're trying to take care of our young employees, and we're very vocal and open about our climate agenda.
And finally, Bjorn, I want to ask you about the exportability of the best practices that you guys are doing right now. Do you feel that you can transplant these kind of activities across organizations, or at least across your partners and any other businesses that might want to work together with you collaboratively in terms of improving the social agenda within their respective organizations?
Well, we believe so. We believe that what we are doing in Telenor and have come up with at Telenor is not so unique or so special that it can only work here. We believe that these are general principles. We believe that any company can and should think about optimizing their business, and in that process, saving energy, saving the planet, reducing carbon footprint. We believe that taking care of and fostering the new generation is key to everybody. So the approach that we've chosen can probably work in many companies across geographies.
Bjorn, it has been a pleasure speaking to you, but if we can just do a quick recap into the five tech trends that will fuel the green transition of society, and perhaps it's a little bit more of a daytime over there by now. Do you want to recap the five tech trends?
The first trend is green clouds on the horizon, and by that we mean that we, with 5G in particular, are seeing a move from big centralized data centers to small data centers, which means that data doesn't have to move across great distances and you save energy. So that's the first. We're saying that we will see a new generation of influencers, which we call greenfluencers, which will both be new people working with social media in order to influence us, the rest of us, and existing influencers such as Jack Harris, who are redefining themselves and making sure that when they talk about products and services and experiences, they're also talking about the green credentials of those products and services and experiences. So that's the second trend. We're saying that as a consequence of the pandemic, we will see we were already experiencing, and we have this from our own data in Telenor and from other research, we're seeing that young people in particular that are new to the organization are struggling. And they're struggling because if they're just online, if they're working from home, it's difficult to build a network. It's difficult to really understand the culture. So we're saying that trend going forward will be both the great resignation, people will move to other companies, but also that to meet this, you need to take responsibility as a senior. You need to create arenas where young employees and old employees can meet and socialize and build culture. And you need to make sure that the young employees are recognized, that they are acknowledged, that they feel that they're part of the company and the organization. And then we're saying that as part of the move to green, we will need a lot of new knowledge. There will be new jobs. Companies will transform. So we will see a resurgence, we will see a growth in what we call green micro degrees that will be offered by traditional universities and by the platforms such as Coursera and Khan Academy, or even companies themselves, in order to help help people get the skills they need. The last trend is this one which is close to my heart, which we call optimize everything. And by that we mean that in the shift from business as usual today and business that is sustainable, we need to think about optimizing our value chains, optimizing our production processes, our logistics, optimizing the way we work. And this can be done by both adopting new technology that is more energy efficient. I mean, chips, the processing units of computers are becoming almost twice as efficient every 2 years, follows Moore's law. And the way that software is built and distributed, and of course the way we organize our value chains. So I believe those are the five trends that we're talking about this year. And this is of course not everything that's happening out there, but I think these are five good indications of important developments that will impact us in the next year and the time to come.
Right, thank you very much. That was Bjørn Dahle Sandberg, the head of Telenor Research, joining us all the way from Oslo, Norway. If you missed any part of this interview, just head on to astrohour.com, find more details there. My name is Ibrahim Sani, shot on location at Sapura Mines. Until the next episode, thank you very much for joining us.